This week's sponsor is Blue Oven. Tired of all those mail-order dinner boxes limiting which meals you can get? That doesn't happen with Blue Oven. With Blue Oven, all you have to do is pick your favorite meals, shop for them, buy the ingredients, take them home, and we'll mail you a one-time use oven you can cook them in. You can have anything you like. Tired of healthy food? Buy junk. Tired of vegan meals? Go pick up some meat from the butcher. Do whatever you want. Then come home to a new Blue Oven each night and cook meals just the way you like them. Order now and cleanup is simple. Just trash your Blue Oven each night and we'll send more. Blue Oven, the box that's always the same. An oven.
Got a boogie.
Hey, welcome to We're All Yankovics.
Woo!
Yay.
Yeah. I'm not so Whoa! Excited for this
oh, come
episode.
On.
Oh.
Feel it. Feel the fever. Get into the groove.
Yeah, I'm not staying alive.
Don't be square. Well. You're not staying alive. Oh, no. Man. I'll be doing the podcast alone from now on.
Yeah. Yep. This one's Got a Boogie.
Got a Boogie.
It's on his original album in 1983, but it also came out as part of the EP in 1980 for Another One Rides the Bus.
Yep.
That big EP that had like four songs on it.
Right.
Which we've already covered one on.
Yeah.
I think.
Mr. Frump was on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And this is sort of a genre parody.
Oh, definitely
I guess a
genre parody. It's a parody of the whole, you know, late '70s, mid to late '70s disco craze, where every other song had the word boogie in it. Boogie Fever, Boogie whatever, Boogie Expressway, Boogie All Night,
Boogie Expressway.
It was a minor hit.
I'm driving all night on the Boogie Expressway.
There we go. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Now, see, that's the thing is, I feel like Us just now was more disco-y than the song itself.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's kind of hard to do disco and accordion at the same time.
Oh, no, I guess
limited.
That's what it is. That might be what it is then.
Yeah, but I think you got a we got those sound effects in there. I mean,
yeah, but it's not as much as like I wanted like a deep bass line, I guess is what I'm looking for. Yeah, 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 exactly.
There's a bass line in there.
But there is, but it just it's a song that makes me go, is this disco? Instead of being like, oh, this is disco. You know what I mean?
Like, I have to disagree with you. I think it's pretty darn disco.
Well, you lived through it a little bit more than I did.
I listened to it way earlier than you did, and this is part of my youth. I remember hearing this song when I was probably 9. And, you know, a 9-year-old, like, this is great. And my older siblings are quite a bit older than me, so they were big into the boogie hits.
Okay.
My sister was a big disco queen,
a big boogie file.
She loved the big boogies, yep. She's a boogie file. Jeez. No, so, I mean, I heard a lot of those disco songs around the house growing up, and I knew the references, even as like a 9-year-old. I got it. I had heard the Boogie Wonderland and Boogie Whatnot. So
Boogie Whatnot.
Boogie Woogie Fever.
I like the Boogie Whatnot.
Boogie Whatnot. It's a very, you know.
It's like the fifth hit.
Yeah.
It's like Boogie
Whatnot. Whatnot, whatever you know. Boogie.
Yeah, it's another song of the same. Boogie Whatnot.
Another Boogie Boogie song. Yeah, so I got the reference, and I, you know, little boys love boogies anyway. It was a booger joke. I get it. So I loved the song as a kid. It was one of my favorites. And I know you don't feel the same way.
Well, because I've got to admit, I don't remember ever hearing it before until we started doing this podcast.
Okay, so you're way late to
Boogie
Wonderland.
So yeah, yeah, it's definitely
go back to your 9-year-old self, and you'll appreciate it a lot more.
Well, and here's what, I'm gonna have to dip into my favorite lyric right up top because I think
let's knock this out.
I think this song needs to be 44 seconds long.
Okay. Yeah, it did go off. The joke was nailed pretty early.
Exactly. Like to me, I think they do the got a boogie on my finger, and I can't shake it off. Boom. And the song, move on.
Yeah. Like, I will agree with you on that. That would have probably been hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. Like
he probably considered it. I
have to think.
Weird Al, if you're listening, give us a call. We'll give you the number later.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to listen to the whole thing. And tell us, were you considering ending it right there? Because I have a feeling you may have.
No, and I can't say that he doesn't do more stuff with it. Mm-hmm. He does. Like there, I love the chorus where he's like, "Hey, you want a boogie?
Get that boogie out of my face.
You want a boogie?
Oh man, I don't want a boogie.
Does anyone want a boogie? Like
no!
that thing. Like because
thank you, girls.
The double entendre of that chorus
uh-huh.
continues that in a way that's really nice.
Yeah.
Because he's ask, just, it seems like he's just asking if anybody wants to dance.
Yeah.
But there's a second meaning to it kind of thing.
Big old nasty hairy green yeah. booger in your face.
Well, and then, so that's really cool. But like, then the chorus before it is just like, yep, just more of the same. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. I love the background singers. I think
yeah, definitely.
They make it, just like the whole feel of it. I like this song.
Okay.
So there.
No. I understand I'm coming into it at a much older age. I mean, I'm coming at it at an age that's older than he was when he wrote it.
True.
So that also makes it harder. You know what I mean? Because this was one of his early ones.
He was probably 20 or
yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So I can't fault him for that.
You're a couple years older
than that. I'm just now, a couple years older than that. Yep. Yep. A couple of years, almost twice. It doesn't hit me in the way that it needs to hit me. You know, it's that whole Star Wars effect where you're like, when you watch Star Wars when you're 13, you're like, yeah. And now when you're 30, you love it because you watched it as a 13-year-old.
Yep, exactly. It's nostalgia. Like, I can go back and envision this song and getting a pack of Garbage Pail Kids and, you know, that eating booger candy, you know.
Garbage Pail Kids, I did collect Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, they don't hold up. They're, you know, they're actually extremely offensive to, you know, like lots today's of them standards. Are. Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that in some other podcast. Maybe, probably not. But, yeah, I mean, that whole...
Oh, yeah, the podcast where we go one by one through every single Garbage Pail Kid.
I think we should do it.
Especially
without the visuals. I mean, I think it really translates well to podcasts. If you can see this one.
No, sit there and you're like, okay, this is a boy and he's got a finger in his nose and then, but there's a snot wad that's connected to his other finger and he's sitting there. And then you're just like, okay, do you do one podcast for each version of the card?
Well, yeah, there's
because they had two different names, but that's the same picture. Exactly. So you're like, okay. And then this one, same one as last time, only different name. Good job, Daniel. Next, that was 10 second podcast. Good job.
We'll stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. Yep.
But I mean, another thing that you may not have gotten, but it may not even be conscious of Weird Al, but something I got. I mean, it's more obvious in another song we'll get to later. But I got a little Steve Martin in this song.
No. People have said that.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking. It does. It feels very King Tutty kind of like, and if that's how it was performed, I could almost see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just right on the edge of like. But even some of that Steve Martin stuff is a little weird when you try to come back to it and apply today's contemporary kind of feel to it. But yes, I agree.
A lot of this first album actually has a lot of Steve Martin feel in it. So
I agree 100%. It feels very much like one of his. Like he's almost trying to do stand-up at the same time, like in a weird sort of like singing stand-up kind of thing.
Right.
I agree. I think, like I said, I'm going to fault it, but I can understand why it's doing all the things that it's doing because of his age and why you love it so much because you got it when you were 5 and you're like, booger!
I wasn't 5, okay. I wasn't even 5 when you wrote it, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's close.
So,
I'm dating myself.
Ooh. Yeah, sounds like fun. Mm.
Hey, I'm married now.
Oh, good. To yourself?
Hey.
Oh, okay.
It's a perfect relationship.
The coolest thing about this that I could find out is if you watch the live at the House of Blues Real Big Fish video, like they have a movie or like a DVD with a live concert, they have audio commentary, and Scott says at one point there's a zoom in and you actually see a guy picking his nose, right? And then Scott from the band starts to sing Got a Boogie goes on to be like, oh, that's a Weird Al song from back in the day. That's probably the most interesting thing I've ever found about a song, especially something random like this. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, well, that's some serious research there, Charlie.
Hey, you know, luckily, Weird Al forums helped me out on that one a lot, actually. So that's Got a Boogie.
You got your favorite lyric. I didn't get mine.
Yeah, what's yours?
Jeez, you just like hammered it through. I'm trying to think how to get to it. Well, the line is, I sure ain't going to lick it off. And then the girls go, ew.
Yep. Well, that's the chorus. I can't, or not, it's a bridge kind of. I can't pick it off. Yeah,
I can't flick it off. I sure ain't going to lick it off.
Oh, no.
Just that delivery is so Steve Martin.
No, it is. It is. And that's, I totally, if you refrain, not refrain, but rephrase this whole thing as like a Steve Martin party, it almost is that better. Much better. It's almost better. It's just that side of childish for me to be like.
All right. Well, I like childish.
Yeah. Well, I understand. Especially when you are a child.
But, I am.
Like I said, ended at the 44-second mark and you're like, ha ha. End.
Yep. I can done. Totally see merit in that.
But. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my new song. My new song is just.
So what are we gonna rate this one?
Oh,
one
gosh.
Out of five boogies.
Yeah, boogies.
boogie ratings.
I'm gonna go because we've adjusted.
Yep.
Okay. Oh. This is out of Weird Al songs.
Uh-huh. Are you gonna do it?
Somebody's gotta get a one.
Break it out. Somebody's I knew you were gonna do it. The one has landed.
Oh
man, I'm not going to go that high because it's very early. It's very basic.
Oh, you're going to go to five?
No, I'm not going to go to five. Oh, okay. I'm not going to completely wipe you out. No. But I was thinking, am I going to do a four? Okay, yeah. Realistically, against the rest of his stuff, it's not a four. It's just nostalgia. I like boogie things. I remember being a kid listening to it. But stepping back and actually objectively rating this song, I will give it a 2.5.
Ooh. Wow.
I can be objective.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's fun, but yes, it's early.
It's early.
He got much better.
Yeah. And his use, the one thing I am a little nostalgic for is the accordion. Like it's been a couple of songs since we've really heard of the accordion. And so it's like, oh yeah, cool.
I think the accordion in this song is fantastic.
Oh, exactly.
It's phenomenal. Like, it's really, really good.
All of that is definitely that way. But to me, like once again, he needed like a drum kit or something whatever those fake drum machines.
I think Bermuda kind of made it sound like
okay.
That.
Okay, I just it doesn't
this cymbal.
It doesn't hit me over the head as disco, and that's what the problem is.
I think it was a really well done disco with accordion. You try to make a disco accordion.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. I think it was well done.
Well, let's just end with. I'm glad at some point Weird Al goes, you know what? I'm going to try to make all my songs exactly what the song should be, not me playing accordion to that song. And I think when he takes that change, that cements his legacy and sort of and it goes to prove his genius.
Yeah. Can you imagine Eat It with
well, an exactly.
accordion?
It wouldn't have worked. Like that takes him from novelty artist to something that's like a withstanding
expert parody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll get into that more later. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I agree. But I like that he throws more in every now and then.
Yeah, no, I totally. I wish he did sometimes, once in a while. Yeah. And maybe just in concert. Like, I don't think it would work as well on the CDs, but like in the concert, bring it out once in a while for a couple of random songs.
Which
like,
he does.
Like instead of doing stuff unplugged, do it with an accordion instead. So like do All About the Pentiums with an accordion for no apparent reason.
That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Just on the live. You know, every once in a while do something fun. Really looking forward. He's got some interesting ideas he said on his new tour. Whenever he goes on for his new tour, he's going to do a little bit more of an intimate tour, he says.
Yes, I heard about that.
And it's going to be a little bit more sort of random songs he picks, not necessarily
deep cuts
kind of thing. I'm so excited for that.
I can't wait to see the next tour, yeah. I saw him speak about that live.
Yes. And if you'd like to speak to us live, no, it's not. It's going to be recorded on a phone.
But we'll listen to you live.
We will. We won't be dead when we listen to them, hopefully.
I don't know how it works.
302-72-WEIRD. 302-72-WEIRD. That's what you call us. Leave us your feelings about Weird Al. What's your favorite Weird Al song?
How story much you love Got a Boogie.
Yeah, how much you... Whether or not you love or hate Got a Boogie, definitely. That's 302-72-93473. You can get us on Gmail. We're allyankovics@gmail.com.
Yep.
So the title of the show without the apostrophe... Exactly. So check us out. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.